Cannon, what were you telling me about the kerosene?
Most people had little wood heaters in their house to keep warm, and they would use kerosene to start the fire, and because it was quick, and they'd keep a little can of kerosene down under the stove or behind it or close by, and some of the children crawling around on the floor would get into that kerosene, and because they were used to drinking out of a cup, and they just looked like a cup.
Yeah, the little can.
Yes,
Probably a good size for them to hold in their hands.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm. Were you able to help the children when that happened to them?
They had to have some of them had to go to the hospital for a complete wash out of the stomach and the skin and the everything like that.
Yeah.
Because kerosene would irritate the skin.
Oh, yes. When the clinic was expanded, I believe you told me there was an emergency entrance.
Yes, on the side.
And what kind of vehicles pulled up to that entrance?
The people could pull up to that, and it was a red door.
Uh-huh.
Red for emergencies. And go right in the clinic. We had a lot of fight victims, cuttings and stab wounds.
Gunshot wounds?
Gunshot wounds, too.
That required the skill of a surgeon, didn't it, to take
yes.
care of those things?
Yes. Something I hadn't said before, but there was a lot of drug use around Bethel because the drug users found a new source of getting their drugs. They'd have to come to the doctor with our police officer, chief of police, had confiscated some drugs, and he brought a bush of marijuana in for us to look at so we'd recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what period of the clinic was that? When did that happen?
Oh, after 2-3 years, I think.
Back in the 50s?
I think so.
Early on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what other kind of drugs were they concerned with?
Morphine. Dr. Garrington had kept his little medical bag in his car. Right behind his seat, so when he got out, he could just pick it up and carry it with him. And somebody took that bag one time.
Oh, dear.
And the way we found it, a man shrubbing ditch banks hit something with his swing blade, and he kept poking around and finally saw it was something black, and he pulled it out on his swing blade and brought it to Beth to the
Dr.
clinic. He had found Dr. Garrington's bag.
What kind of bag was that?
It was a little brown leather satchel that he used to carry medicines or equipment in when he would make house calls.
I understand you had to make house calls too occasionally.
Yes, I had to go to give some antibiotics that were ordered every 4 hours. I had to go out once or twice to give that.
Every 4 hours, that would keep the whole clinic going.
Mm-hmm.
Take someone antibiotics every 4 hours.
Well, I didn't do all of it. The doctors did some of it.
Sure. Can you remember any particularly challenging delivery?
No, yes, one. This lady had a number of babies. I don't know how many she had, but it was right many. And she was getting ready to have another one. So her husband brought her on to the clinic, which was, it was 7 or 8 or 9, maybe 10 miles away. And he was in a hurry. And he had to cross the railroad to get to the clinic. And when he hit that crossing, the baby bounced out.
Oh, my goodness.
But he made it, got his wife on to the clinic, to the emergency door, and I had to go out and finish delivering the baby in the car.
That was an adventure.
It was. I got them out, the mother and the baby both, and they did well. She's the one that Dr. Gerrington called Firecracker, mm-hmm. teasingly.
Sure. So people, I guess they brought their own cars up to that emergency entrance, didn't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did ambulances ever come to the Bethel Clinic?
Rescue vehicles came. Mm-hmm. Yes, and the ambulance came to get somebody to take them to the hospital. And my niece was sick with pneumonia, and she was in one of the private rooms. Mm-hmm. And it was right next to the back door where the ambulance backed up to the ramp.
Right.
She saw it coming, backing up as she started crying. She said, "He's coming after me." Because everybody she knew that had pneumonia died. Mm. And she thought he was coming to get her.
Okay. She made it.
She made it, yes. Uh-huh.
Did you have many patients with pneumonia there at the clinic?
Not to stay, no.
They would come and then go to the hospital, I guess. Is that?
Either that or go back home and take care of it.
I see. Yeah.
Then come back for a checkup. Ever so often.
What do you remember about Dr. Gerrington? What kind of a fellow was he to work with?
Dr. Gerrington was one of the easiest people I have ever known to work with. And I felt like he was my big brother. He was so, you could go to him with any problem and he would help you. He did a lot of psychotherapy, which everybody loved.
Was he a good listener?
Oh yes, he was always furthering his education. He kept up with the medical journals and medical technology, and if a new business came to the neighborhood, he would go over and watch the people work and find out what kind of materials they used, if any chemicals, so that he'd know how to treat a patient if he got hurt on the job.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Community health.
Yes.
He was concerned with that.
And he knew how to do most anything. He didn't let anything get the best of him. He was a fine man. And he even did needlepoint and tatting.
Sounds like he needed to stay busy. That was important to him.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
I understand he had some other hobbies too, that he loved music.
Yes, he did. He could play a mandolin. And there were two or three men in our neighborhood that could play musical instruments, and they, with my brothers and sisters, we were a good audience. So they would come out to our house and play for us. And Dr. Garrington joined them once or twice. And he enjoyed it, I think.
Now, would that have been Cecil Garrington or Connell
Garrington? Connell.
Connell Garrington.
Uh-huh.
And that was when you were a child, or when you were a young adult?
Teenager, yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What sorts of tunes did they play?
Country music.
Country music, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
They played mandolin and what were the other
violins and guitars.
Yeah. I bet that was a lot of fun.
It was.
And you said that if there was anything you didn't understand at the clinic, Dr. Garrington would be very patient and...
Yes, and very patient and see that I understood it before he let me go. And anybody else, he would have done the same thing. He was very, very education-minded.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, in addition to the secretaries and the nurses.
We had nurses' aides and a maid and a janitor.
Tell me about that janitor. He did a lot of things.
Yes, he was a minister, a black minister. And he would get supplies in for us and empty the trash, whatever, anything that needed doing that was a little heavy for girls to do.
Uh-huh.
And he waited on Dr. Garrington just like he was a valet for him, but it was just respect for Dr. Garrington.
Like a wonderful helper.
Mm-hmm. He'd go get the mail and he could sort it out and put it where it belonged.
Tell me about the pharmacy in Bethel.
Oh yes, the pharmacy was right next door to the clinic.
Now for a while it was across the street, wasn't it? Or was that before the clinic opened?
That was before the clinic opened.
I see.
There was a drugstore about a block away across the street. And it was run by, the first I remember was a lady pharmacist ran it. She was the only lady pharmacist in Eastern North Carolina. She was the first one. Her name was Mabel Barnhill, and one of her ancestors talked her into going into, he was a doctor, and he talked her into going into pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
And she had a little soda shop there that she'd make banana splits and things like that, and
good.
Fountain drinks. And served ice cream, and they had the regular round table there with the white top and the little iron chairs, metal chairs, just like it was really a picture of a drugstore.
Mm-hmm. And that's, how old were you when you would go visit her drugstore there?
reckon that was in grammar school, that maybe the eighth grade or something like that. It was a little before high school.
And when did it? When did the pharmacy setup change? When did that?
It wasn't very long because Miss Thornhill wasn't there long. And another pharmacist came. His name was Herbert Reeves. And he stayed there until it had to close. I'm not sure whether he had died or what was the reason for his quitting.
That was before that was when the Garrisons still had their clinic behind the house, I guess.
And it was after the new clinic was built.
I see. And now the pharmacy is on the corner.
On the corner, next door to the clinic. And
is that where it was while you worked at the clinic?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All throughout those 25 years, wasn't it?
Yes, We had two good pharmacists there right on. And
I understand there's a dentist's office in that area as well.
Yes, that was attached onto the pharmacy. And we had had several dentists to come in, but they didn't stay long.
People in Bethel have pretty healthy teeth.
They must have, yes. But we do have a dentist, and he has built him an office further away from the clinic, but across the backyard.
Still close by.
Still close by. Mm-hmm. He's very good.
Did you ever see, in your childhood days, do you remember Miss Barnhill preparing medications there at the pharmacy?
No, but I remember her walking out to our house to see my mother. She was a great friend of my mother's. Mm-hmm. And she was a very, very good-looking woman.
How long was that walk?
About a half a mile or more.
That's not bad. But you were close to town.
I remember my grandfather worked on the railroad. He was a paint supervisor. And he would come home, ride the train home, and get off when it stopped in Bethel at the depot. And he'd walk back out to our house, which was his house.
Sure.
And he'd have to walk back to town in time to catch the train, because the train was on schedule, and he had to be there.
You bet.
And I was going to school, grade school, about that time, and I'd walk along with him. And he was walking so fast, I had to run to keep up with him. But I enjoyed it.
I know you did. Did you, then when you were married with your children, did you live in his house still? Or did you have a different house?
One of them was born at Pitt Memorial Hospital. And the other one was born in Bethel Clinic.
I see. Bethel Clinic there with Dr. Garrison.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Baby. And when did your babies come?
The first one was 1948. Mm-hmm. In a big snowstorm we had.
Oh my goodness. And you had to come all the way to Greenville for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the second one was in 1954.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the first one was before the clinic was open then in Bethel.
That's right.
And then the second one, did you have it in the new part of the clinic? Was she born in the, had the clinic been expanded by that time, or?
I don't remember.
It's easy to forget those unimportant details. Yeah, at that time.
But we had plenty of room anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, in 1975, the Bethel Clinic closed as a clinic.
Yes.
But Dr. Garrington
stayed there and kept his office open for those people that couldn't go anywhere else for medical service.
Where did he prefer they go? Where would he prefer that the patients went?
Over here.
To the,
well, I don't think there was any recommendation when they decided to close the clinic. He would give the patient their chart and let the patient go find another doctor.
Sort of sent them towards Greenville.
Yes, mm-hmm. Greenville area. Uh-huh.
And what did you do in 1975? Where did you go to work?
I came to work at the hospital, Pitt Memorial. Mm-hmm. And
now that's the one on 43.
Yes,
right?
The red one. And I helped them move into the present building,
which is the big white one.
Big white one.
Now, when you went to work at the hospital on 43, Pitt Memorial, someone else you knew worked there, is that right?
There was another hospital in Greenville, Pitt General, that was over in front of the college on Johnson Street. And I went to work there in 1948.
I see. Before you went to Bethel Clinic?
Yes. And my husband wanted to go to Bethel and take care of my mother's farm. Mm-hmm. So that's why we went to Bethel.
So when you first married, you lived in Greenville for a little bit? Is that
lived in Winterville.
In Winterville?
Mm-hmm. With his mother and father.
Oh.
They were delightful people.
When you came to work after 1975 at Pitt Memorial Hospital, did your brother work there as well? Is that what I remember?
Did what?
Did you have a brother who helped?
Yes, my brother was there, and he was the head of the ambulance department. Mm-hmm. And we both retired at the same time. In 1986. Mm-hmm.
And then you worked some more, though. You didn't and then retired.
Yes, the people in Robinsonville, they had a little hospital, and they found out I was not working. Mm-hmm. So they began putting pressure on me, and I helped them off and on for about 3 years. And I realized there was a lot that I didn't know how to handle, and a lot of new equipment that I didn't know how to handle. So I decided it was best for me not to try nursing anymore. So I let my license go so I wouldn't be tempted.
And you were concerned about something. You said you wouldn't be tempted, but you thought,
if I made a mistake, it could mean a lawsuit. Somebody could take me to court and take everything I had.
And that was an uncomfortable feeling, I know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I did have insurance, so it would help if something had happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have had a long and very beneficial career, beneficial to the community here in nursing. You've helped a lot of people.
I worked at Bethel Clinic for 25 years, and I have felt like I was helping my people.
You knew most of the patients who came?
Yes.
They were
not my family, but my kind of people.
Sure.
People that I knew. Had their babies, and there was a black man helping my sister Almira in the garden. And I went over to see him, to see her one day, and she introduced me to him. He said, "Yes, ma'am, I knew Ms. Cannon. She helped birth my babies."
Aw. Sure enough. Sure enough, the very Ms. Cannon.
Uh-huh.
And then people knew you when you came to work at Pitt Hospital, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Remember the story about the man who didn't recognize?
Yes, he had been a, this man had been a patient at the clinic. And anyway, in other words, he was the father of the baby that was born in the car. And I started wearing pantsuits when I came to Pitt Memorial because everybody else was wearing them. And I was sitting at the desk writing my charts one night with one leg crossed over the other knee. Mm-hmm. One ankle crossed over the other knee.
Made a nice desk that way.
And he came around the corner coming to visit somebody. He stopped at the desk and said, "Miss Cannon, that don't look like you." I decided I'd better straighten up my posture. And
we could all do that. Well, tell me, looking back over your years of experience, what would you say was the most important thing that happened that helped you the most in nursing, helped you provide health care?
The nurses' aides. The nurses' aides were very wonderful. They were there because they wanted to learn. And that makes invaluable knowledge.
Mm-hmm. When did they start helping you? When did you have a nurse's aide?
We had them at the clinic. And I hired a girl off the... She didn't have any medical knowledge or except home nursing family. When her family got sick, her old remedy, she'd know what to do. But I knew her, and I knew she was a good worker and would strive to do the best she could. So I hired her at the clinic. And some of the other nurses fussed with me, said, "You take anybody off the street." Mm-hmm. I wish you'd get somebody that knew how to do something. But she did. She caught on very quickly. I taught her how to give injections. And
now, was that your first nurse's aide?
There
first
was
one you brought in?
Yes, there was another one at the same time who was maid and nurse's aide.
When would that have been? When did they come in? Do you remember?
It was probably in the 50s.
After the clinic was in
March? The early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Cannon, for your time this morning.
Well, you're certainly welcome. I've enjoyed this.
Is there anything else you'd like to add? Have we skipped over anything or forgotten?
I don't know of anything right now. Except it was a good, rewarding life I had.
Well, thank you very much. I know a lot of people have benefited from your gentle care.
Well, thank you.
Patience. And I know you were a great asset to the Bethel Clinic.
Thank you. Yes. I feel like I was.